Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve looks at today's events already foretold by God's Word. The Bible stands alone. No other book in history has such specific and detailed descriptions of the world we live in right now. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Send the worship team. You remember how that happened? And they walked up to the place where God said that they were going to be. And they looked up and they said, "What's happening?" And all of this coalition that at one time was pointed against Israel was now pointed once to each other, and they have annihilated themselves. It took 3 days for the Jews to pick up all the spoil. So Psalm 83 is commemorating that. Now, with that in mind, is it a historical commemoration or is it potentially speaking of something future? Watch this. We'll go quickly now. Verse 1. "Don't keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people." Who is that? That's Israel. "And consulted together." This is a confederacy. "Against your sheltered ones." Sheltered ones. Remember how Ezekiel said that they are unwalled and living at peace? Notice the climate of this. They are sheltered. The idea is maybe they are behind walls. Verse 4. "They have said, 'Come, let us cut them," Israel, "off from even being a nation.'" No, let's just don't defeat them. Let's beat them so bad that there is no nation left, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. Have any of us heard this rhetoric in the last 10 years? Verse 5, and I wrote my Bible there, land for peace, huh? I don't think so. Verse 5, "For they have consulted together with one consent, and they form a confederacy against you." Here they are, the tents of Edom. We've had other teachings on this and gone into greater detail, but in the interest of time, the tents of Edom is the Palestinians and South Jordan. The book of Obadiah is a one-chapter Old Testament book that is all about Edom. Let me read it to you, verse 18. "The house of Jacob," if you will, I wrote in my Bible, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, "shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph," also Israel, "a flame, but the house of Esau," Jordan, all the way down really to modern-day Saudi Arabia, "shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them, and no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau. The Lord has spoken." Has that happened yet? No. Ezekiel 25, verse 13 says, "Thus says the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand against Edom, cut off man and beast from it, and make it desolate from Teman to Dedan." That's Saudi Arabia. "Shall fall by the sword, and I will lay my vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel." The IDF. Now that has also to do even up to Herod, who ordered all the babies in Bethlehem killed, was an Idumean from this region. Let's keep reading. Who else? Well, then you got the Ishmaelites. Those would be the Arabs. Remember, Ishmael founds tribes as well. That's Saudi Arabia. Moab, that's easy. That's the Palestinians of center Jordan. What about the Hagarites? You guys know that. When Abraham picked up the handmaiden Hagar, where was she from? Egypt. Verse 7. In Isaiah chapter 19, and I've been asked about this especially recently, Isaiah 19 verses 16 and 18 says, "And the land of Judah will be a terror to Egypt." When was Israel ever a terror to Egypt? Hasn't happened yet. Everyone who makes mention of it will be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he has determined against Egypt. Listen to this. And in that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak Hebrew. When has that happened? Verse 7. Gebal, you know what that is? That's the Golan Heights. That's Syria. Ammon, that's easy. What's the capital of Jordan? Ammon, Jordan. And Amalek, this is very provocative. Judges 12, verse 15 refers to the Amalekites as in the hill country of Ephraim. This, you guys, is what is known today as the West Bank. And Ramallah. What's the capital of the Palestinian Authority? Ramallah. Then there's Philistia, the capital of the Philistines. You know what city that was in? Gaza. When will this event happen? With the inhabitants of Tyre, that's up north, that's Lebanon, more specifically southern Lebanon. Who knows off the top of your head the Iranian-founded and funded group that occupies southern Lebanon to this day? Hezbollah, lobbing rockets into northern Israel. Assyria also has joined with them. Assyria is easy. We know it today as Syria. Hold your finger here. Join me one more time in Isaiah 17. I've been asked about this one as well a lot. I want you to notice. Isaiah chapter 17, look at verse 1. The burden against Damascus. Hey, wait a minute. What's the current day capital of Syria? Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city. And hey, listen to this. It will be a ruinous heap. And it names some cities. Skip down, if you would, to verse 9. 17 verse 9. In that day, his Syria, strong cities will be as a forsaken bow and an uppermost branch which they lift because of the children of Israel. There hasn't been an Israeli army in 19 centuries until 1948. In the interest of time, verse 14. And behold, at eventide, trouble. And before the morning, he, Damascus, is no more. Ooh. It's one of the oldest continually inhabited cities in the world. Has it ever been this destroyed? So this must be prophetic, must be future. It kind of goes like this. We're going to go to sleep with trouble brewing in the region. And in the morning, it will be a ruinous heap. In the days of bows and arrows and chariots, could you knock out a whole city in one night? Could you with current weaponry? Fascinating. You know, that's a technology statement right there. This is the portion of those who plunder us and the lot who rob us. Back to Psalm 83. Why Assyria? Because they have helped the children of Lot. Lot, remember, he is saved out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. His wife long looks back longingly. Oh, look, I wish my city wasn't burning. Seriously, she gets turned into a pillar of salt. The two daughters believe the end of the world has happened. What do? They get their dad drunk. They get him to lie with them. They both become pregnant. Oldest son of Lot is Moab. And the second is Ammon. Ammon, Jordan, is named after that fellow. Verse 9, deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera, and with Jabin, and the brook Kishon, who perished at Endor, who became as refuge. Right in your margin there, that's Judges 4. Jabin is the guy who had 900 chariots, and Deborah was raised up. Miraculous happens, and the Canaanites never bothered Israel again. Verse 11, make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb. Yes, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who say, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession. What is that? That's a reference to Judges 6. Do you remember Gideon? There are over 150 Midianites there. There's no way we're going to take these guys. We only have 300, God. We have a problem. And God says, you're right, Gideon. You got too many. What? That's what it's talking about. And by the way, Midian never rose against the Jews again. Verse 13, to the end, oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind. As the fire burns the woods, as the flame sets the mountains on fire, so pursue them with your tempest and frighten them with your storm. Who's going to win this battle, you guys? God is. Verse 16, fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be confronted and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know you, that they may know you whose name alone is the Lord. Are the most high on the earth. Let me kind of put this another frame. Remember what we saw in Ezekiel 38 and 39, an outer ring? But there were some characteristics that aren't true today. Does Israel live safely in the land? Are they unwalled? Are they at peace with their neighbors? If Psalm 83 happened today, go to our next slide. If that battle go down. There's the regions, by the way. And hit the go button again. Here are their modern-day designations. Edom, Moab, and Ammon. That's Jordan. Gibal and Tyre, that's Lebanon. Amalek is the West Bank. That's where Mahmoud Abbas, that's where his office is. Philistia, that's easy. That's Gaza Strip. And Assyria is Syria. And the Hagarites are Egypt. Now go to our next slide. If these nations in their current designations were to come against Israel today, if Psalm 83 is prophetic, it would look like this. Here are the nations. To the north, Hezbollah. To the northeast, Syria. Who is running Syria more or less these days, you guys? Iran is. Then you have Jordan to the east, and more specifically Jordan, all the way down through Saudi Arabia. Did you know that King Abdullah II is in a big pickle there in Jordan? He says that the Palestinian population is about 42%. Come to find out that there have been some more in-depth studies, and it turns out that there's 67% are the Palestinians of the population of Jordan. Why is that a problem? Because they're still considered refugees. They're not available for government subsidies and assistance. And what do you think the 67% of the population think about that? They're not happy. And then because of everything happening in Syria, as you know, then a bunch of refugees from Syria are also flooding into Jordan. Did you know that in the year 2004, the Jordanian CIA uncovered a plot and discovered a truck on its way to the Jordanian, the capital of Amman, for the parliament. It was going to blow up the entire parliament of Jordan. King Abdullah II is hanging on, but how much longer? Then Egypt. Well, isn't Egypt doing well? You guys remember the Arab Spring? Mubarak was out. 30-some years. Of course, we took out Saddam Hussein, but what about Libya and Gaddafi? The strong men of those regions, many of them as awful as they were, at least they brought a little stability to the region. The Arab Spring has wiped all of that out. Now what's going on in this region, everybody? Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and Iran. Would you agree with me that the region is, to say, much more unstable than it used to be, potentially? Hit our next slide. Here's how I sort of believe that the order of events are going to happen. As again, these will be on our website. You can check these out. And you Bible students, I would suggest you really do. Why is this important? What's up with this nuke deal with Iran? Will this deal provide the environment that Iran will be able to finally finish their bomb and a delivery system to deliver it? Don't know. But if it does, you guys remember when Syria, when Bashar al-Assad, our president said, in your civil war, you'd better not use weapons of mass destruction. You'd better not use chemical warfare. If you do, that's it for you. Remember that? They did. What did our president do? Nothing. Then the Russians came to the forefront and said, we'll take them all. Let's give us all. Do you guys know that Syria has the most biochemical warfare, weapons of mass destruction? They're third in the world behind Russia and China. And Russia said, we'll take it. That'll be okay. And I said last time, isn't that a little like the fox guarding the hen house? By the way, did that ever happen? Answer, we don't really know. Fascinating. Is the environment ripe for the potential that either Syria or Hezbollah, if one of these other, Hamas in the south and in Gaza, if any of them get their hands on a weapon of mass destruction and use it against Israel, what do you suppose Israel might do? And if they react, will that set off the chain reaction of this whole area? And let's not forget, God says, I will never let Israel be uprooted from the land again. Number one, Israel regathered in the land. Done, check that off. Number two, ancient cities rebuilt and inhabited. Ezekiel 36 and on. Done, happened. Number three, they meet Muslim / Arab resistance. Another big chapter is Jeremiah chapters 48 and 49. Check those out at your leisure. I think that's where we're at now. Israel establishes an army for defense, a massive army. Number five, adjacent Muslim nations confederate. We just read that. Next, number six, confederacy committed to the destruction of Israel. Is that the verbiage coming from the region? Number seven, war starts between the Confederacy of Israel. I believe that day is coming, personal opinion, and very soon. Is our president being utilized by the Lord to foster an environment where this might happen, potentially? Number eight, title regained, my people, Hosea 1. Israel decisively defeats this confederacy. We are seeing that in these verses as well as Psalm 83. Next, the order of events, number 10, Israel has become an exceedingly great army. Has that happened yet? They're a good army, to be sure. But do they bear the moniker exceedingly great? Would these warfares of Psalm 83 make them such? Number 11, Israel takes prisoners of war. That we haven't seen. We've seen political prisoners, but not like Jeremiah 48 and 49 and Zephaniah 2 say is going to happen. The region is reshaped. Hit our next slide. Hit our go button. You need to see this. This is a current map of the current state of states. Hit the go button. There is Israel. Look how small it is. If you go into Genesis 15 verses 18 and Joshua 1 verses 4, do you know what God said his land is going to look like? Hit the go button. The western border is the Nile River. The eastern border is the Euphrates. The northern border is Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon. And the southern border is called the wilderness or the Negev. Has Israel ever occupied that much land? The Bible says she will. How is that possible in the current climate? Hit our go button. Israel expands its borders, as we just said. Obadiah 1 verse 19, Jeremiah 49, Isaiah 19. And then finally, Israel finally then dwells securely. Here's an interesting idea. What if this does happen? What if somebody lobs a weapon of mass destruction and Israel retaliates? Would that potentially account for Damascus as a ruinous heap? Also, Ammon is going to be a ruinous heap. And does Israel expand her borders? What has she done ever since she's been back in the land in 1948 when aggressor nations come against her? What does she do? She expands, just like the Bible said she would. What are you saying, Steve? I don't know. I don't know. But what I've just outlined for you, both in Ezekiel 38 and 39, is Persia, is Iran cozy with Russia today? That's the outer ring. Does the Bible speak of the inner ring that goes first? Is that if nukes fly in the Middle East? What would that do for the world panic button? Does the world clamor, oh no, it's happened! Nuclear war in the modern age! Stop it! Somebody, please make a peace treaty with Israel. And what does the Bible say about that? And is that when the Antichrist comes up and says, here's the peace treaty that he enforces? And is that when they take the walls down? Let's all stand together. Boy, I'm glad I came to this church today. What a rosy message. You guys, don't miss next week. I've been asked often, is America in the Bible? I believe she is. We're going to look next week at some peculiar events that have already happened in America and what I believe potentially might be very provocative. Very provocative indeed. We're going to talk a little bit about the Shemitah year and cycle. We're going to talk about the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, the Bible says, Israel, the 50th year, seven sevens is 49 years, seven shibur or 7 weeks of years, and then on the 50th year, number 50, you take a jubilee year. In the year of jubilee, all the land goes back. Next year is the 70th jubilee since Israel came in the land under Joshua. Yeah, somebody better say, what? Don't miss next week. Lord Jesus, I thank you for our time today. Largely an intellectual exercise, I know. But I was floored again by Jesus when you said, blessed is he who when I come, I will find him watching. And the church of Laodicea that was prophesied in the book of Revelation, the church that on the outside had all the trappings of success, probably good-sized crowds and impressive structures and really cool and slamming programs. But you said, but they're majoring on all the stuff that I don't really think is important at all. You counseled that church, ask of me gold refined in the fire. Ask me to send the fire of my passion for you and for holiness. And are you willing to let the stuff that needs to be burned, are you willing to let it burn? Why do we come to church? God says, it's to learn of me that life and power happens within the congregation, Old Testament and New Testament. To hear God's word, all the cool stuff about your grace and mercy, to be sure. But also about, are you living a life that pleases God? Because I'm coming. And when I come, are you going to be watching? And it is my job as the pastor and shepherd of this church to do what I know how to do, to show you what's happening out there, how it is prophesied and speaks of our Bible. Loved ones at Harvest Family Fellowship are watching us on video. I believe, especially after next week, I believe that the events we've looked at this morning are close on the horizon. And that you have been shouting to America specifically with some pretty amazing details that you're coming soon. Oh, church in America, please wake up. Teach the word verse by verse. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to a recent prophetic update by Pastor Steve. What a comfort to know that no matter what the headlines are saying, everything is proceeding just as God has foretold. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.